Welcome back again, everybody, for the third day of this expedition, I guess you could call it, our filming of the What Are the Chances documentary. It's been pretty amazing because each day we've talked to some other people that have, once again, just kind of shifted even our paradigms. The people that even believed in this shifted our paradigms on certain ideas and thoughts just because of the knowledge that they have. Today we went to the ICR, the Institute of Creation Research in Dallas, Texas, and we got to sit down with Dr. Timothy Clary. And my gosh, is that guy just a fountain of knowledge. He is very founded in his faith, but he is such a fountain of knowledge. He's the head of research at the ICR. He's a geologist that works all over the world in the past for oil companies, where he actually would do the rock sampling and things of that layer, working on these different rock layers. And he breaks down quite a bit how he saw how these rock layers around the world were the same. And they all pointed to, you know, common causes, that the same, something happened that was all around the world at one time. But I don't want to spoil everything, which there's no way to, because that guy can go on and on, and because he's just such a wealth of knowledge. But today being with him was, and Grace helping us out there as well, was such a gift, such a for them to open up the ICR for us with nobody else in there. Something that I mean, just truly a gift to us. So I don't know. What are your guys' impressions of today?
I was very blown away by the place that we were at, by the involvement of all the members that we talked to today, just the two, unfortunately. But it was closed, so we only got to talk to two people. It sure helped for filming purposes, though. But it's such a cool place, and the research they're doing there, what he was able to talk about, it really, really kind of hits home when we were talking earlier about how each one of these guys really kind of specialize in a certain area. They pick their battle and they stick with it, like you said, and it's very focused. So you can kind of see the overlap to everybody else's. But you're right, Tim Clary, just such a geologist at heart, and like just could talk rocks forever. he just has some amazing insights on stuff that I think not a lot of people really think about. And it's just, once again, blatant evidence of stuff that has happened. It's the history. It's studying history through the formation of all these things. So, but I thought it was amazing. I thought it was really good.
If I'm being honest, I didn't pay attention a lot to today's interview. Because I was researching things for the documentary, you know, fair use for found footage, and I was kind of in my own thoughts, editing away in my head. I like the camera angles, and I can't, you know, in all fairness, I will hear these interviews more than anybody that consumes this documentary, so I keep that in my mind sometimes when I'm shooting things, that I don't have to be completely present all the time. But so today, probably out of all our interviews, I was kind of in my own head, planning out what this looks like. You know, third day, I'm even more excited. And, you know, I think I have, and I'm not really talking to you guys, I'm like keeping it a secret in my head, all these editing ideas that I have. But yeah, I mean, I'm tired, but I feel fulfilled. And we've been eating good down here. And the water in Texas has lotion in it. But in all seriousness, I wish we could have, we didn't get to see everything at the Institute today, right? Like a lot of the stuff was shut down. And I guess the techie person wasn't there to turn on some of the interactive stuff, but it was, I mean, I can't imagine how cool that place must be when everything is on, 'cause it's pretty cool when everything's off, You know, and just walking through there, it just goes and goes and goes and goes. And I think that you could probably visit it for a week and not see everything. So it was very cool. And obviously, Dr. Clary was awesome. He was very gracious to us and to open up the place. And again, this is the third person in a row that's given us an hour and a half interview. And not even pressed for time, not even concerned that we had had him that long. And I've been doing this for several years, and you know, your typical interview ask is 30 minutes. To get an hour and a half is absurd, and so I feel very lucky for that.
I just would recommend to anyone who is interested in this that they would think about a trip down here, because there's just so much in this area with the ICR and with the Creation Evidence Museum, and then what was the college? There's a large.
He said it was in Keene. I don't remember if it was Liberty, or I can't remember who he was talking about. But he said that in the town of Keene that they had a large museum as well that was
at the college,
but it was mostly dinosaur aspect and had all the different, mostly from Wyoming, I think he said, but tons and tons of fossils.
Yeah, just very exciting place to be. And it was very nice because, like you said, Sean, Dr. Clary was very gracious, and he actually taught four people in my family, including me.
He's just the insight and the knowledge, and the fact that he's had to see it from both sides, because he taught in a public institution. So you're required to teach the evolutionary theory, but yet he was able to still bring across the idea that, you know, there's evidence for the idea of a young Earth as well. And we were able to toe that line. And I hate to say that, because you're not really toeing a line as far as your faith or anything like that, but to be able to reach people in a public institution and get them to question the fact, is this really billions of years old? Is this really, you know, dinosaurs really 65 million years? But giving all sides of that so people can make up their mind for themselves by looking at the facts, looking at the science. And that's, like I said, that's why we're doing this, is to bring the science, to bring the idea, to show that, you know, it's not just our faith versus science. It's our faith versus the evolutionist faith that a godless miracle happened. And I think that the fact that God has shown miracles in so many ways, and people who have that faith have seen those miracles. People who have that faith have felt those miracles. People who have that faith have seen people healed, have seen so many amazing things happen in their life. And then if we go to the Bible and we see that, how many times Jesus healed somebody, how many times the disciples or apostles healed somebody in his name, and we just see it over and over and over again. Miracles are part of what we believe. But if you don't have someone who's able to perform those, a miracle, that's truly your own belief system, that there is a godless God, that, you know, in that term, like there's not a, you're not believing in God that made something, but something happened all by itself, miraculously. And I mean, it's the same thing. It's like you thinking you have, and I think he said it today, like you have an empty bucket, and you look at that, you put that bucket, you put a lid on, there's nothing in the bucket, but you watch it for 20 years. Well, is there something? Did something explode in the bucket? Did something happen? No. Look at it in, you know, 100 years, look in 1,000 years, look in 1,000,000 years. What's going to happen in that bucket? Absolutely nothing. You're not going to have a universe in that bucket. You're not going to have life spontaneous create in that bucket. Anybody who thinks about that, an evolutionist even, anybody, an atheist, think about that. You know that nothing's going to happen in that bucket. So how can we believe when we look around that everything we see, the trees, the plants, the birds, the animals, look in the mirror and tell me that came from nothing?
It's really compelling when you listen to some of these arguments. I don't want to say they're arguments. It's just presented facts is really all it is. And it just goes down to, you know, the whole you eliminate whatever is not possible. And whatever is left, however improbable, has to be the truth. And that's just, it's right there. And you're right. Sit on that bucket as long as you want. Nothing's going to happen. Everybody knows it. Everybody's going to laugh at it.
Let's just say there's some people that have sat in buckets at this table and things happen in those buckets. But
there's an outside force. See, we've proven it wrong.
Here we go. We've kept it on the rails for 2 days.
We are tired.
Lots of snacks, lack of sleep going on in here, and we're tired of holding back. The water in Texas has lotion in it.
My hands are so soft.
I struggled with that this morning. It was terrible.
You can't wash the shampoo out of your hair.
My face was just, it feels so like I couldn't get it off. It was
that
awful.
Must be what believing in evolution feels like. Yeah.
The lotion spontaneously.
You just can't wash something that's not even there off. You're just like, hey, no point. What's the point of the water?
No, it's absolutely dumb.
You know, my favorite part of the interview today, and I may have new favorite parts because, again, I'm just being honest. I was in and out with my brain. But, you know, everybody that did these interviews with us, no doubt in the glory of God. But my favorite part about this interview today was there was a good chunk where Dr. Claire was just spreading the gospel. It didn't have to do with geology. It didn't have to do with biology. It was just, you know, it was on him. And I thought that was really, really, really cool. That was my favorite part. And then, you know, I had this imagery in my head when he was talking about the box. And so I had this thought. You know, it's like, well, how could we shoot that shot, you know, as he's talking about it, about an empty box? And, like, I was like, that would be kind of a funny time lapse to make, right? You know, put a camera in a box and speed it up a million years. All that would happen is you wouldn't have a box anymore. You know, the box would deteriorate. And then you would have to answer, well, what made the box crumble? And then what made that? And then what made that? You know, it's so funny because everything needs that one miracle, right? So, on both sides of the argument, everything needs God. And if they don't have God, there's no explanation. And some people call it God, and then some people fight the notion of it. I think deep down we all know it's God, though.
Should run that simulation through ChatGPT to get that imagery for you.
Yeah, that's another thing, guys. We figured out Steve is deathly afraid of AI. And all these people we've talked to have mentioned AI, and it's done for Steve.
I think I might be the new John Connor because I really think that everybody's just sleeping on AI. It's coming for us.
We've not done many fun facts of the trip, but Steve also thinks that how do you even say it? I'm just spilling all the tea on today's podcast because we're going to have one more after today.
We'll have one more tomorrow.
I'm tired of holding back. He thinks that the back of the backpack is the front. Is that? Did I even say that right?
If you have a backpack on your back, the back is touching your back. So the front of the backpack is the part with the small zippers.
That is not what you said.
But that doesn't make
that is not at all what you said. You said the part that's facing away from you was the back of the back.
It is the back.
No, it's the front.
It's indeed the front of the bag.
That is facing away from you is the front of the backpack. When you take it off, that's what you look at. You look at the front of the backpack.
Just because something's behind you doesn't make it the back.
The backpack is always facing. It's not a backpack.
My back is my back.
I know the people simple listening have been listening to Steve for a long time.
I can
but
see the numbers.
Do your research. Is all I'm saying. Because this guy is just unhinged. Unhinged. You know, all jokes aside, and it's going to sound like a joke, and I'm sure it's blatantly clear after listening to these podcasts with me on it with you guys for the last 2 days. I think that it's really cool that we're going to see all these researchers and then I'm quiet in the car and I listen to you three have a conversation. And for me, it's like listening to the researchers. You guys are all so smart. All of you guys are so super smart.
Do you see how he led this in with all his jokes?
Well, I'm not joking. No, the backpack thing's not smart.
Waiting for the punchline.
Absolutely. No, there's no punchline to that. It's just really cool to see, you know, and again, I didn't get to meet your guys' dad, right? And so it's cool to see, like, what that legacy did and how interested you guys are past just what you have to be, right? It didn't, your education didn't stop with like grade school or high school or college or anything. Like, you guys are genuinely interested in the world and genuinely searching for not just the typical answer on something, but because of who your dad was and what he instilled in you guys are just curious. And because you're so curious, you guys are crazy smart. And the whole trip's been cool to me for a lot of different reasons that, I mean, I wish you guys could experience. You guys just got to see how silly somebody can be and how many days you can wear a single pair of socks before you have to change them. That's what I've shown you guys, you know. And the smartest thing that I've done is to flip that pair of socks inside out to get another day's worth out of them. But you guys are, and I mean that, you know, it's really cool to see how your guys' minds work, all of you. It's been like I got like a free college course. Thanks, Trump.
I think that we can say in any given circumstance, when you're around a bunch of people, whether it's those researchers, you know, the scholars, whether it's around other people that we met just walking around these places, especially the Creation Evidence Museum, we got to meet a lot of people that were just coming in, a lot of people that were, you know, we met Julie, that one of the scientists behind the scenes, and she gave us one of the coolest facts that I've ever heard in my life. And I don't know if did we talk about that?
No.
That you want to explain it, Mike?
Sure, if you want. Yeah. Are you talking about the biosphere chamber with the...
No, I'm talking about but the snake.
The snake specifically.
Yes, the snake specifically.
That was one story that Dad always told me before, when he was super excited about the piranha when they were growing it in pre-flood conditions with atmospheric pressure and the oxygen level and everything just being a little bit different. That piranha grew 4 times as large as it normally does in the wild. And they did 3 other experiments like that, one with fruit flies, which that extended their lifespan like to 2 months or so, 3 months,
like
almost
3 or 4 times as long as normal.
It was crazy. And then the snake, which blew my mind, I think all of our minds collectively, they took a juvenile, was it a copperhead?
Mm-hmm.
We said a juvenile copperhead. They put it in there for, after 3 weeks alone of being in this hyperbaric chamber with the pressure and the oxygen and the CO2 level set to what they have researched to and believe to be what pre-flood conditions were like, this snake became a vegetarian. It wouldn't eat the mice they put in there. It only ate like a fruit paste. And then on top of that, the other crazy thing was that its venom, they have pictures of this, and it's crazy to see because it's like the first one is regular snake venom, copperhead venom that you see nowadays. It's like a chaotic design. I wouldn't even call it really a design. It's just like the structure of it's just kind of complete and utter chaos. And then they showed what happened after 3 weeks of this. The venom became a serum, something they can only replicate in labs in today's with snake venom and stuff like that. And the structure had changed, and it's formulaic. It is designed, it is organized, which is the weirdest thing to see those pictures side by side, because it's like decay and then organization. And that was only after 3 weeks of a juvenile snake in those pre-flood conditions. And that, by far, one of the coolest things I think we've learned on this trip, that the research that's being done is just blowing our minds. It's crazy. It's really cool to see that. Now they got a big, and I don't know how much you're going to talk about this in the documentary or not, but they've got enough funding to do a massive chamber now. It's instead of about 5-6 feet long, this thing is how long is it? like almost 35-40 feet,
I'd imagine. Yeah.
And it's gonna have over 200 and some odd species in this, all different kinds, and it's they're If they get the doors figured out, hopefully that was the first issue.
So 3 months out, they said.
3 months out, and they're going to start testing in a whole bunch of different species to see what happens. I hope that they don't grow too big, because I think 250 species in one small area might kind of push the push the limits on that thing. But it sounds awesome. It sounds real cool.
I'm excited. I mean, it's going to be really cool. It's going to show... If we can really truly replicate and see what a pre-flood world looked like and let people have a glimpse of that, I think it's going to show a lot of people the truth. It's going to help a lot of people with some of the scientific questions of why the world was how it was. Looking at the fossil record, you know, when you see a dragonfly with a 2.5 foot wingspan, how is that? It's still a dragonfly. Why are our dragonflies now have like a 2 or 3 inch wingspan at max? You know, why are some plants, you know, 18 inches tall now that were, you know, the size of maple trees before?
And life expectancy, which is crazy. So it makes sense that, like, dinosaurs back then would live long enough to grow to these massive sizes and everything like that. Like, just we would have, you know, Komodo dragons probably be that big, you know? Like, it's just insane. It's crazy to think about.
That was not a, it didn't seem like a large facility, but they certainly had a lot of high-end mm-hmm. stuff. Like they had that, they could take small slices and get into the soft tissue.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing what they were doing. And these people are so dedicated. This woman that we were talking about, Julie, she's retired. And this is what she does in retirement.
The same thing she probably did. But yeah, that's the other cool thing was just hearing about the bones and how all these dinosaur fossil bones, like you said, just this facility is one of the only ones in the area that can do this. And that's why some of the other places around that are doing research are working with them on certain things. But just to get these thin slices so they can actually see pliable soft tissue, blood cells that they're able to stretch from dinosaurs. I mean, that is some Jurassic Park level stuff.
Yeah, here we come.
Right?
You know, what else is cool about all three of the people that we've gotten to talk to, you know, like all the main speakers, is how they treated their teams. They treated their teams, everybody was just as important to the mission as anybody else. And to see, you know, everybody else had a smaller team today, or not today, but in the past 2 days in comparison to Dr. Ball, you know, obviously he's got the entire facility there. Everybody that he spoke to, you could tell that he makes sure that they feel super important and super valued, and that's what is helping keep everybody excited about this. And you know, you can tell that there's people that go there on a regular basis and they're excited, and so it's cool to see the camaraderie and, you know, no egos going on. And surely these guys could you know, they could have an ego, I guess, if they chose to. They're great in their fields, they're all very intelligent, they've all, you know, this isn't their first rodeo with things, but just the way that they treated even us was really cool. I mean, we got to see some of the displays. I'm sure we can't talk about it because they've not even unveiled it, but he showed us displays that they're working on, not just what they finished, what they're currently working on. We got to go back into the buildings and look at the things that are in progress. And I think that that's what stood out so much, is all these guys are so super humble. And, you know, I think they realize the importance of a team. You know, what they're doing is supported by all the rest of these people, and you can just tell everybody's cared for. And this has been such a cool trip for so many different reasons. You know, what's unfortunate is that the product of, you know, our time here is going to be the documentary, and that sounds unfortunate only because we all got to experience so much of the experience of being here. I feel very lucky to have just done it. And so, yeah, I think we're going to get a great product out of it. And, you know, as far as the team building goes, you guys have been an awesome team. I've shot with a lot of people. I've been on many different sets and done things, and this is, I mean, we're just like a well-oiled machine. We're doing really good. We, you know, packing in, packing out. This isn't an easy thing that we're doing. It's a fun thing. It's a lot of hard work, and I mean, really, if this would have just been me and Steve trying to come up here, man, what chaos. And because it's been the four of us here and everybody just happy to play whatever part, it's been fantastic.
I think to kind of piggyback off what you said before about how they were something that was when you said how they treated their teams and stuff, I think one of the most profound things to me is we're looking at people that I admire for what they do. I admire them, and, you know, Dad knew who these people were a long time ago. And, you know, I've known about them for a bit, but it's amazing to me that they treated us almost as equals. And I don't feel like I'm on that plane. I don't feel like any of us feel like we're on that plane. But the fact,
I know I'm not on that plane.
Well, I'm not saying we are. I know we're not there, but we're trying to do what we can with what God's given us and what he's telling us to do. So to me, though, one of the most profound things that I felt the entire time was when we get done, we interview with these people, and they thank us for what we're doing. They thank us for furthering this. They literally, I said, I'm so glad. Thank you so much for letting, you know, taking the time to be, no, thank you for furthering this. Thank you for spreading this message. Thank you for being a part of this. And that, to me, it tears me up almost, because it's such an amazing thing, because then you realize you can sit back and look at God's really letting us be a part of this. He's really letting us be part of the overall plan. And it's a gift in a way that I some things you just can't put into words, the what God gives you at times. You just, you know, he's given me my family. He's given me, you know, so many gifts. He's given me a job. He's given me all these things. But to be part of his plan too is just like, whoa. And then to have that recognized even more so. And I am not one for accolades. I don't want my name on anything. I don't want to be at the forefront of everything. I want the focus of this documentary to be the greatness of God, to be, look how the most amazing thing that can come out of this is someone looking and seeing, looking at the science. I'm not just telling you to believe. I'm not just saying have faith. I'm saying look at the science. Decide for yourself. Don't listen to me. Look at the research. And the fact that it's there, the fact that you have the tools to see this, the fact that it's all right laid out in front of you, and it, God leaves us all the evidence we need. I mean, even if you are a skeptic above skeptics, you have that right in front of you. So it's just amazing to me. And I have to say one more thing. Sean, you need to knock off tooting all our horns. Because I'm telling you, the everything that you've done, when you come into this, I needed you here. Because, dude, I literally, any lighting I've done has been with a switch on the wall. So when we're putting there, we're setting up lighting and getting these shots, and then you're saying, come over and take a look at this. And I look at it, I'm like, man, I feel like I'm already watching a documentary. That looks so freaking good. So you have the lighting, you have the camera angles, all this different stuff that you've brought from the things, the gifts that God's given you and the work that you've done in the past. God's brought this team together to make this work. You know, Mike, you have the same kind of tech background. You and Sean have instantly become like partners in the tech world over here, and are making this flow. And Mom,
we would have all starved to death.
We would have all starved to death if it wasn't for you. We'd probably be in a tent right now in 110 degree weather. But thank you.
You're welcome.
And she is camping out with three grown men. And today we walked in and everybody's like, do you smell that? We're trying to figure out what the smell is. It's just three grown dudes in a house.
And one that doesn't change his socks.
Well, it's not like I didn't want to change my socks. I just didn't pack my socks. And that's different. You make the best with what you have.
Inside out or not.
Inside out or not.
I do have to say that one of the most amazing things, and yes, this wouldn't be happening if it weren't for you either. And it's amazing to see it all come together. But one of the greatest things is that all three of these people that we've interviewed so far some of the leading minds, some of the most amazing people in their field trust you with their name. Yes. And they're putting it on this almost not necessarily like a no questions asked. I'm sure there was a lot of footwork around this, but I've seen the back end of a lot of other projects. Like you were saying, you get limited time, you get limited answers, limited everything. And they are so excited to put their name on something that's happening. It's nothing other than God. And I'm not trying to put pressure on you or anything.
Listen, God set this up.
But it's crazy. Just somebody with such a reputation is giving you, they haven't even seen anything. I know you're going to send it to them so they can watch it beforehand. I get it. But the willingness, everyone just so willing to be a part of this and to do it has been just, it's unheard of from what I've seen. In my experience, it's way harder of a game to do something even secular. Like it's just crazy to me that right there, you're going to put all three of these guys' names up there and they're just going to be like, yep, that was me. So,
and you know, talking about teams, I've kind of battled feeling selfish the whole time we've been up here because we all have family and friends and coworkers and all these people that aren't here with us that without them, we couldn't be doing what we're doing either, you know. So I'm just – today I think that's what I'm feeling is just pure gratitude for everybody that's poured into this to help make it happen, you know, because what a very cool opportunity. So I can't help but to feel a little bit selfish because, you know, we're all out here and we're having fun. We're working hard, but we're getting to see these things firsthand. But, you know, when we go into post-production – you know, those are the things that I don't want to forget, right? Because working on a big project is tiresome and lots of hours and very hard. But, you know, I think as long as we all don't forget that, so, you know, it wasn't just the four of us. You know, it was so many people that made it possible for us to even have a stab at doing this. So, you know, obviously I'm very thankful for my family and your guys' families and all of that, you know, without those people that didn't get to come, and, you know, we all wish that they were all here, right, you know. But unfortunately, you know, somebody's got to hold down the forts and make sure that life keeps going. And
I wouldn't feed them all.
Yeah, and she's not going to feed everybody because we're all special.
It's a limited number of seats.
Literally, you brought the wrong ones in because we eat more than anybody else.
We do. Today, you graciously picked up the tab, and I've just felt sorry for you every time mainly because of me. Although I did run away from her at the one restaurant because I ate a pound and a half of meat, and I'm not going to, no one's getting that tab.
You should have your picture on the wall at that place.
I can't believe they don't give you something.
You know, when you were saying about, you know, feeling grateful and blessed, I think about the Great Commission, and, you know, God doesn't need us for his plan, but he gave us the privilege of being part of it. That's what I feel about this is a privilege to see this come forward, and God could do everything on his own, but he let us be a part of things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what's awesome about it is I don't think that he looks at us and goes, oh, you know, maybe how you felt walking into the barbecue restaurant today. He's always happy that he's letting us do it. He always knows that we're the ones that were created to do such a thing. You know, he made us for the very moment that we're in. And, yeah, it's very cool. I feel very grateful for the whole trip. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, and I think we're going to go try to find a dinosaur and just to follow suit. Spoiler alert. We didn't evolve. Day 3, another expert down, and we were created.
And Sean changed his socks.
And I changed my socks today. I'm a new man with a new plan. Yeah, I think my socks may evolve. I actually think I seen him stand up and take a couple steps earlier. But that's not even evolution. That's bacteria.
That was life that was there.
And what created that, right? There you go, evolutionists.
Well, thank you guys again just for tuning in, listening, following us along on this crazy trip we've been on. Like Sean said, we miss our families. We wish they were with us. We wish everybody could be part of this. And in the future, I hope that they are. I think this is something that is only going to grow. I think this is something that is going to change into so much more. And I'm really excited to bring this out to you guys. I know we all are when this gets to the finish line. Just get excited. What are the chances is coming to a theater near you?
I mean, somewhere in the U.S. for sure.
Well, I mean, in this country. I don't know.
Streaming we'll exclusively to streaming. Everywhere we can upload it to.
In a small theater north in the Yukon in Canada somewhere that we could afford to rent out.
We actually are thinking about renting out a theater.
To do a premiere.
Yes.
And I think that would be awesome. I think it would be great. But hey, just keep tuning in, keep listening. We'll keep you guys up to date as we're going along in the editing process. We'll have a show here and there just to kind of talk about some progress and some other things and other ideas. And we'll keep you guys updated, and we'll go from there. But thank you guys for listening in, and we will talk to you tomorrow.